Hello everyone, this is George and Charlie off the bridle. Episode one of a new series, it's the start of a new season. So let's get underway. Yes, we return once more. Racehorse trainers George Scott and Charlie Fellows, plus myself, Tony Rushmer, are back in business for 2024. Partnered, as always, by the good guys, our great friends at Fitstairs Bookmakers. And in the months ahead, we'll be aiming to bring you great interviews with star names and a proper insight into the historic racing town that is Newmarket. Hello, once again, chaps, we are back in the room. Charlie, I can't start without talking about George's winter. I know how pleased you'll have been for him to train all those winners home and abroad. Take us away.
19 stone hanging out the back of Isle of Jury, some horse to carry you, isn't he?
Do you know what? I thought we said no swearing on this podcast today, but you're really going to wind me up if you carry on like that.
He was relentless, wasn't he?
Bloody Isle of Jura. The annoying thing was, is I remember him buying him as well. He was such a good looking horse.
We spoke the morning before we bought him, and I was actually wasn't quite straight with Charlie because I knew he'd worked the sale. And I rang him, and I know where I was stood, and I said, "Morning, mate, how you doing?" "Good, good, good. What do you think of this?" As we sometimes would, you know, "What do you think of this sale?" He said, "Good. There's two horses in there that I think are nice. I'm going to try on them." And I just knew. And anyway, I managed to get it onto this horse, Isle of Jura. And I said to him, knowing that I was going to try and buy him, "What do you think he'll make?" "I think he'll make 70 to 80. You know, you should be able to get it. You'd be able to chance of getting it bought for 80. But because I was so desperate to buy the horse, I'd had this conversation with a bunch of people. And I knew that I would have to spend more than the perception of what he was worth. And I think everyone at the time thought that we'd spent way too much money.
Hindsight's a great thing, but no, he was a unbelievably good-looking horse. He was the standout of that. It was when Godolphin had a massive they just cleared out a whole lot. And there were some nice horses in there, but him and, yeah, there was one other, I think, that stood out like a sore thumb. And because he'd run okay on debut, hadn't he? But pull up any trees. But he was just a really good-looking animal. And yeah, the last person in the world I thought would go down there and buy a horse in training was G. Scott. How wrong was I?
We've had a few messages. God, I'd love that. That horse would really suit me, wouldn't it?
I said, yep. So good in Bedford House Stables.
He'd actually really look him. He'd be pride of place in there. So yeah, no, he was a very special horse for us over
Melbourne
the winter.
Cup. Melbourne Cup. Well, how's that conversation gone?
Yeah, it's definitely been floated, and obviously
he is tailor made, George. He is tailor made for that race. Like, yeah. It is literally the perfect horse.
I know.
Quick round, mile and a half horse, but like he'll stay 2 miles down there with his eyes closed.
No, that's what we obviously. I think Sheikh Nasser. It's certainly very much at the top of the agenda. I mean, we'll start back at Ascot and Hardwick and take it from there. But yeah, I know Charlie messaged me afterwards, and actually so did a couple of other people. So I mean, it would be a dream having watched my mates have a crack at it. I mean, two or three of them and loved it. So, and they're very hard to get hold of, those horses, aren't they?
I genuinely don't think I could think of anything worse than you winning the Melbourne Cup. I genuinely don't. There is nothing. You can win any Group 1 up here, anything. If you go and win a Melbourne Cup, it would absolutely crucify me.
Wow, we're a long way away.
Charlie, you must almost have been dreading the start of the podcast series, because we have to get this out of the way, G. Scott's ongoing success home and abroad. Is this difficult to get in the room today for this one?
I don't understand how he's remembered to train a racehorse. I thought he was done. I thought I had him buried. I thought he was down.
That's a terrible thing to say.
And he's just suddenly remembered what it's like to train around how to do it. And if everything he turns to at the moment is even our freaking winner yesterday for the Niarchos family I saw at Lingfield.
Well, yeah, it's great that you're training at 20%. I know you don't care about strike rate, but it makes life a lot easier. You've had a flying start to the year as well. So for once, we're both in high spirits because... You know, between us, we've made a good start to the year.
Won't take long, though, with the flat season upon us before we start running into these huge great bulls from certain Newmarket stables and flying fillies from other parts of the country. We're about to take on the big guns and the big battalions.
We've been flying on the all-weather and in Bahrain. We're about to get kicked into touch by Gosden, Stout, Haggis and Co. and all these nice maidens and trials and
That's true.
So yeah, we'll get bumped back to earth soon.
I'll be staying in my lane. I'll be avoiding those races.
Although, I did think Charlie might normally come in here and try and prod you on prize money, but didn't you pick up a nice pot the other day at Newcastle as well?
Yeah, no,
that was nice.
Yeah, that was, yeah, 75 grand or something to the winner. And Charlie, and obviously this ongoing sort of...
Where are you in the chain at table at the moment?
Like 50,
top 20.
I'm like...
Fantastic.
I'm like 15th.
Absolutely fantastic.
15th as opposed to 65th. Yeah.
And he says, I still won't check it. I'm like, you, the further this goes on and the longer this run goes, you will check it more and more and more, sunshine.
Right. I just... You know. No, it's been good. Charlie, yeah, we just couldn't help sort of flying into each other a couple of Sundays ago. He just will not leave. I just said, just leave me alone. I like what I like and you like what you like. Stop pushing me all the time. Leave me alone. He's bombarding me with messages. You're an idiot. I told you, you know, you'll be looking at it the whole time. I said, just leave me.
That trainer's table, it'll be printed out every week by Alex and put on the wall just so you can check where he is.
Well, back in the day, Hugo Palmer was... leading the trainers table after Galileo Gold, and I always remember going over there for lunch, and he's got placemats made up of him at number one. Obviously
that's great.
Yeah, placemats made up of him at number one in the trainers table, courtesy of Galileo Gold. So I've got some way to go before I'm going to put my placemats down, sort of 17th in the trainers table. I could get away with it with the children's three mats because they can't read yet, but anyone else comes over, it'll be a bit embarrassing.
Now, we've all been out on the heath this morning and it has been absolutely miserable. However, it does feel like spring is in the air in the town, doesn't it? There's that sort of buoyancy, that excitement. How are we feeling about the upcoming...
It did this morning. This morning was one of the most miserable mornings I've had on the heath in a long
time.
This
is true.
Oh, my God. And it just kept on coming. And the wind was up. The rain just carried on going. Every time it sort of blew through for like 5 minutes, it then just came and hit you again. Oh, miserable.
However, that aside... It is that time of year, though, isn't it, where we're all a little bit excited because you're looking at all the dream machines that are the new two-year-old team, etc. And just that general excitement that we have in the town. Is that kind of reflected at Eve Lodge and Bedford House at the moment, gents?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's something that I've harked on a lot about. I think getting off to a positive start is just really, really helpful for everyone. The staff, trainers' confidence, you know, pressure is a terrible thing, training racehorses. You get yourself under pressure, you definitely don't make the same decision. So when things are going well, it's like a sportsman in good form, like they just hit it sweeter, they see it clearer. And owners, you know, they've all got their new stock in the yard. If your yard started positively, they're very conscious of that, I think, and they're very happy to be part of the team. But so both stables have started in good form, and as a result, I would say they're in very high spirits and optimistic.
It's a really exciting part of the year, but also you're also like looking at them through your fingers, just because the horses are under the pump at the moment. They're probably being trained harder right now than they will ever be trained all year because it's pre-season. They're going from, you're trying to get them up to peak fitness. So we do weekly trot ups on a Thursday, and literally every horse comes out and you're just praying they trot up sound, nothing's picked up a niggle.
I'm seeing hordes of red coming across to our side.
Yeah, I've been
every day almost.
Yeah, we've been over your Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I've been coming over and using that. The grass has been so nice round the back of the flat or across the flat or whatever it's called.
As Charlie said, like, it is definitely a period of time when the horses have got to get through this sort of fitness barrier. And once they're through it and racing, they don't really need to do it again. So it is prime time for injuries. And I've had some heartbreak, I have to say, this spring, you know, that I haven't really felt before, with a couple of young horses picking up freak accidents. One in particular, it's just lucky we didn't do the podcast before, because I was just obsessed with this horse, and he'll be fine. But you know, he was a good old reminder of it's, you know, plenty of bad days as well.
Are we looking at our respective teams and thinking, certainly in your case, George, I was looking at the numbers of the two-year-old team. Is this arguably on the best team you've had for a season?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but that's got to translate because we had a good year a couple of years ago with arguably the weakest team of horses we've ever had, and they turned out to really help us. So I don't look into cost of horses once it's done, you know, because they all go into the string and they... You'd be a genius to pick out the most expensive horse to the least expensive horse in a string of 10, 15 horses. So, yeah, no, definitely the strongest team of horses on paper. But, you know, we've got to get that to translate onto the track, which, you know, I'm optimistic we will. But I'm certainly I'm not going to start crowing now. No, I'm sensible. Very realistic about it all.
And how do you assess your team, Charlie?
I think quality is really good. I think I lack the depth that I've maybe had for the last 3 or 4 years. Not a huge number of older horses, which has normally been my strongest section.
You're very good with older horses because they just seem to keep improving,
yeah,
don't they?
So that might hold us back a little bit, but most forward bunch of two-year-olds, although I'm not going to have anything running in April, but they look like a pretty forward and nice bunch of two-year-olds.
And I'd say we'll have a fair few runners through May and I think a nice bunch of three-year-olds as well. So I'm pretty happy.
Could there be a star as yet unheralded, whether that's two-year-old or three-year-old? Could there be a star in either of your respective strings? George has got his hand up.
Well, we do have these conversations between trainer to trainer when things slip out. And Charlie said to me the other day on the phone, I can't remember what we were talking about, but it came on to... I think sometimes when you see another trainer, when you're just driving past having worked, I always go...
I always go,
any stars? Who's got a star for me? And Charlie, actually, I caught him at a weak moment, has got a horse, I'm not even going to say if it's a filly or a colt, that he thinks is quite smart. So have we got an update there?
Yes.
We got a so that's a filly.
She, I could have one. I haven't, she's very quick though. And I always find it's almost more difficult to gauge how good a sprinter is because sprinters generally, if they're half decent, they always work well because they've just got a load of natural speed.
Yeah.
So gauging quite how good they are is very difficult.
Okay.
But she's working with some pretty good horses and she's never run before.
Is so, she ready to run?
Yes.
So what we're saying is watch this space and listen to the next episode of the podcast because we might know a little bit more.
Yeah, unless I put it up as our charity bet in about half an hour's time.
Which is so him.
Yeah.
This is so him, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing I will say, I do notice you, George, on the Heath when we're going by another string. Any rockets? Any stars? And you are trying to find out, albeit with a smile on your face.
It's just a bit of fun. I'm just winding everyone up. No, but, you know, it's great. Hopefully all of our mates have got some stars and they stay sound. It's honestly, I just don't, I don't think, this is not being sort of condescending or anything, but I just don't think a lot of people who aren't right on the inside realise how hard it is to keep these horses sound.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about catastrophic injuries at all. I'm talking about niggles.
Yeah.
Niggle after niggle after niggle after niggle. And I know Charlie in a similar way that he talked about his trot-ups. My hard-working head lads wake up before me and get around the legs. As I'm getting up, I get a rapport every morning and I just like, oh God, every single morning there's a cut, a moved shoe, one's cast, a bit of thickening on the knee, just all these things. So that is it. It's just every trainer will tell you like this, but they got to stay sound.
I promised great guests. And we have one for the first episode. A very entertaining chat follows with George and Charlie talking to former National Hunt jockey and current Lambourne trainer and also father of very successful jockey Safi Osborne. Of course it is the one and only Jamie Osborne.
Jamie, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, George.
We've been looking forward to getting you on for a very long time. We're delighted that you said yes.
Well, look, in preparation, I did a little bit of extensive research into your podcast, which basically constituted me listening to the first 5 minutes of your previous one. To be honest, I lost the will to live. It was like two kind of, you know, two
posh.
talking about the fact that age 35 they can't do a press up. I mean, I was so bored. I kind of didn't even get to Nicky Henderson.
Poor Nicky. That was one of our better episodes, Jamie.
Was it? Oh, gosh. Yeah. The show went on quite a long time, George.
Anyway, back to more present issues. You've had another fun winter away. You do like a trip, don't you? Maybe even more than me.
Love a trip, yeah. No, yeah, we've had a good winter. A couple of winners in Dubai and a winner in Qatar. And sort of pretty much everything in Dubai ran well. It got me out of this long, horrible winter, nearly on a weekly basis. So, yeah, it was good. I enjoy a bit of Dubai in the winter.
Well, you were, I was just telling the boys there that I had the pleasure of traveling with you to Bahrain last year. And there was a poor barman who was sort of tidying up from the night before, and we got him to open the bar at 8 in the morning, and it was a pint and a packet of peanuts, wasn't it?
George, steady, old boy. That would be a rare occurrence. But yeah, I don't normally drink in the morning, but I needed to sleep on that flight, so it had to be. We had to have a pint or two before we left.
Yeah, no, we did. You were late. I remember coming back to you, and you were laid out across four seats.
Yeah, I seem to remember I was in the back of the plane as usual, and you were in the front.
That sounds absolutely spot on. That sounds about right. Scott travelling up front.
I like to make it economical for my clients.
No, absolutely. And Jamie, just tell us a little bit. I mean, that night when you know that your horse is Uzo, isn't it? I mean, what a rock star he's been, and also more relevantly, the ownership group behind him.
Yeah, tricky owners. He's a partnership that is headed by my wife, and it basically constitutes her and her friends. They're quite a lively bunch. It was actually just a stroke of really good fortune that I had to be on the second night that he won in Dubai. I had to be in Qatar with Emirati Anna. So I managed to miss their celebrations, which I have to confess I wasn't too disappointed about.
What did they involve, do you think? Or was it?
God only knows. I don't think I really need to know. I mean, they're all women of a certain age, let loose on their own in Dubai, you know, feeling on a bit of a high because their horse has just won. I'd say, you know, the problem for them is that it's night racing because they always start at lunchtime. And so I wouldn't have wanted to breathalyze any of them come race time. You know, I would imagine they'd had a good lunch and then they went on afterwards.
And I think I'm right in saying that it was Safi that rode him the second day. Was it a hard choice to let her back on after Adre gave the horse such a good ride?
Well, you know what Safi's like. And she was obviously injured when he won there the first time. And there's some great footage of sort of, you know, my wife looking really happy and everyone looking really happy and Safi pretending to look happy in the background.
Yeah, I was there that night. I had to pick her jaw up off the floor. She was absolutely...
Yeah. So I did have a bit of fun prior to his next race by saying, look, I've spoken to the girls. They're all very keen to leave Adre on this.
Very good.
She didn't know whether I was being serious or not, so she took it up with her mother. They're both quite feisty, so you can imagine what that conversation was like. When I married Katie, I kind of knew I wasn't signing up for an easy gig. It was going to be a bit lively. But I didn't really sign up for having two of them, you know. Safi is like a little mini Katie. Quite tricky to live with.
She's doing very well, though, Jamie. You must be proud as punch.
Sometimes, yes. She's doing all right. Yeah, obviously, I've never really worked with one of my children. You know, the boys have never really had any interest in racing, and Katie doesn't really have a whole heap of interest outside of Uzo. Saf's sort of been at my side since she was little. She's been a sponge for the whole thing. And now that she's up and running...
She started off in eventing, didn't she? And then did she always want to be a jockey? Was it the plan always to be a jockey, or was eventing the...
Well, she was riding out sort of probably from about the age of 12. Before that, the pony used to just follow the string up with a sort of short stirrups and everything. So she was doing sort of pretend jockeying. The eventing started to go very well. You know, she won several European medals, a couple of golds. She was kind of the cornerstone of the British pony team and then the young riders team. And thankfully, she had a very good horse after ponies. And he did a European. She won a silver in the Europeans on him. And she did overlap initially. She started race riding while she was still eventing. And I think, look, from my point of view, it was a huge relief. Eventing is just sucks money out of you. there is no possible chance of getting any return on capital in that game. And it takes an awful lot of work and practice to keep it safe. And if you skimp on your practice in that game, it gets dangerous. You know, it is a tough sport. And thankfully, her race riding, sort of, she enjoyed it and it kind of got going relatively quickly. And I think she saw that, actually, I'm going to run out of money. She's going to have to find somebody to fund it. And if she goes the other way, then, you know, you have a car and a saddle and away you go and you get paid for doing it. And you don't have to do all the horrendous practicing that it requires, you know, those top event horses. So thankfully, she decided to go that way. I think she was always going to go that way, realistically. I think the eventing was going so well, it was hard to let it go. But I think the race riding bug got her. And ultimately, she's a fairly commercial animal. And she saw how much easier it was to make money as a jockey than it is as an event rider.
No, fantastic. I think she just moved to Newmarket because she's a stone's throw away from where we're sat now. And as she settled, I haven't seen her. She's riding out for James Ferg and other people. It's probably bittersweet that she's moved away from you, is it?
Glad you haven't seen her. Can we keep it that way?
I've been to her. It's extraordinary. It's a shrine at the moment. It's a shrine to Safi Osborne. Everything that is good about
there?
I have, yeah. I have, because I picked up a sofa from there. My wife decided to buy a sofa off Safi, and I had to go and pick it up. And Safi wasn't there, so her housemate, Rachel, was there, and we loaded this thing up. Anyway, but I had to go and pick it up in the house, and literally the walls are covered with photos of Safi doing this and Safi doing that. And
so that sofa that I gave her, she sold it.
Yes, exactly. That's it. It got special price.
Special price. Jamie, Safi would have been a lot younger when you, dialing back to one of my all-time favourite horses, and I really want to talk to you a little bit about him, was Toast of New York. And you nearly pulled off really what was one of the hardest feats for a British-based horse to do, and that's win the Breeders' Cup Classic. And just tell us a little bit about the early days with Toast and when that plan was hatched, because it was a pretty spectacular effort that day at Santa Anita.
Yeah, it was close. I have a photograph on my wall I'm looking at right this very moment. I think we're about an inch away from winning a Breeders' Cup Classic. It was quite extraordinary, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
But it was a guess. And, you know, sometimes when you try something different as a guess, most of them don't work. This very nearly worked. But we didn't go into that race with any pressure. You know, we were taking a shot from outside of the box. We didn't know for sure that he was going to handle the dirt. We had a hunch based on the fact that we'd taken him to the States three times previously that year, and especially when he was training in Belmont before the race after the UAE Derby. He just looked to have an amazing way of going on that dirt. Jimmy McCarthy, who used to ride him every day, kept saying to me, God, he feels good on dirt. And if you delved into his pedigree, there was a bit of dirt there. Okay, it was a couple of generations back. And he also had the physique of a dirt horse. It was interesting, World Cup night. I went down to the paddock to look at World Cup horses. And they just are a different shape, aren't they? You know?
Yeah,
The only one that wasn't was the old horse who was by Dubawi that didn't run very well, but he won the trial. I can't remember his name. But all the others were just in a proper mold. Big, strong, powerful horses. And that was Toast. He was a big, strong, powerful horse. Almost a little bit coarse, if you like. You know, just very heavy. And so we gave it a shot. And you know what it's like in a race like that. Your initial thoughts are a sense of relief. that you didn't make yourself look stupid by trying it. But then that's quickly replaced by a frustration that we were an inch away from pulling it off. And then we sort of had a second little bite of that cherry because there was the steward inquiry, which seemed to go on for ages. Everyone was saying to me that knew how it worked over there, that we would get it. So that sort of tempered my disappointment for about 10 minutes because I'm still thinking we could get it. But then obviously once it was announced that we didn't, then the kind of the realization of how close we got to doing it sort of hits you. And obviously very proud of him and relieved. But it's still just that bit annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? You just think on a slightly different stride pattern, we may well have won that race, you know. So anyhow, we had a lot of fun with him. He was a great horse to have. He came along at a good time. Winning the UAE Derby was a very special day, coming from a maiden and a novice win at Wolverhampton. That was, a good guess. You know, it was a hard one to predict. And he proved to be a very, very good horse. Sadly, didn't really get a chance to go on and have any kind of length to his career through injury. But that year with him was amazing.
Yeah, no, after that, it was all a little bit like these things can. He obviously had a few issues and it got a little bit bitty from there on in, didn't it? But
oh, just a little bit, yeah.
You could just see that from the outside.
Yeah, he was sold, obviously, after the Breeders' Cup Classic to Archer Cab as a potential Dubai World Cup horse. And then he did a tendon. So that was pretty much that. But then we did get him back after he'd had an aborted stud career in Qatar. He has had a winner.
Has he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he only covered 15 mares, of which they weren't even all thoroughbred. but I did see he had a winner. And then obviously he came back, he was gelded and he came back and he was second. We took him back to the States, to Churchill, and I think we were second in a grade two there with him once he'd done his covering and everything, but it was never really going to work. And he's now with Jimmy McCarthy's wife and kids as a happy hacker, doing a few ROR classes and living the life, which is a great end to the story, really.
Yeah, a very special horse. And you've got your team in good form, Jamie. You had a nice winner there at Kempton on Saturday. And how are the two-year-olds looking?
Oh, God. What?
All flight. Machines, aren't they?
All
yeah.
Machines.
Yeah.
We've actually had quite a frustrating winter because we've actually only had 5 winners domestically. But we've had 15 seconds, of which I think 12 of them are ahead or less.
Oh, and that's brutal.
It's one of those brutal runs of seconditis, which you hear trainers moaning about, and they always, you know, but I do believe that luck levels itself out over a period of time if you give it time. And so I'm anticipating quite a lot of shorthead, fluky wins through the summer to balance out all the bad luck we've had through the winter.
No, I know what you mean. I had a batch of that myself.
You can't stop having winners at the moment. You've conquered Bahrain.
Will you shut up, Jamie? Will you? God,
how, are you how are you doing, Charlie, at the moment?
I'm okay, thanks, James. Not too bad. Yeah, good. Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like I really don't care, but I don't really follow much. I don't look to see who's having winners. I know George is, because he tells me George's had a lot of winners. I don't know. Have you had any runners, Charlie?
Yeah, he tells you, and it's plastered all over his social media as well, sort of interviews with Tony and that sort of thing about Bahrain and all that crap.
I don't know. I don't follow him.
No, well, quite right. You're talking, right. I'm going to unfollow him.
Talking about social media, you became world famous during lockdown with those videos.
Well, my staff did.
Staff did? Your homemade videos?
I was behind the camera. I was writer, director, editor, yeah. Yeah, well, we didn't have a lot to do, did we?
Who came up? Was that your? It was your idea.
It started out that when we were going to have no racing, and at the start of lockdown, sadly at the end of it we didn't. But at the start of lockdown, we actually had quite a lot of horses in, and I thought, you know, how are we going to keep people coming to work? You know, it's going to be so boring and tread water with most of these horses. We didn't know when we were going to resume. And so I started just doing it internally in the yard, just silly, silly little films, getting them to say silly things and posting it between our staff groups. And then it just gathered a bit of momentum. I put one or two of them on Twitter and I couldn't believe the sort of traction that they got. And then everyone was, the lads kind of loved seeing themselves on Twitter. I thought, okay, we can ramp this up a little bit. Well, I don't know how you are, but with attendance, but you know, nobody, we had sort of six lads living in one house. And I thought, if one of them coughs, they're all going to be off for a fortnight. Well, I don't think through COVID, I don't think anybody took a day off. Everybody turned up on time every day. And the first thing was, I was doing the board. It was, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? What are we singing today? And I think, so I made a rug for my own back. And I think we did, I'm not certain of the number. I think we did somewhere between 40 and 50 of those films. Some of them were obviously better than others. But it kept everybody coming to work. We actually had a good laugh doing it. I mean, some of the outtakes were fantastic. And they just got more and more ridiculous. And then obviously when racing resumed, I thought, right, we just have to put a stop to this now. You know, we don't want this to drag on. This is becoming a full-time job. And so we did our big finale and that was it. We haven't done one since, but you never know. We might make might
Christmas special.
We might do something. We might do something. You know, I've got a great team here and actually they all rose to it. And, you know, even the ones, do you remember the girl Bridie that was doing the Irish dancing?
Yes, yes.
I was, I thought, right, we're going to do a mistake of river dance tomorrow. And I was just thinking, how bad could their river dancing be? And I thought it'd be really funny to do really bad river dancing. I went into the tack room in the morning. I said, right, anyone ever done any Irish dancing? And Bridie, who hadn't said boo to a goose all the time she'd been there, oh, I did it as a child. I said, go on, man. Oh, my God. She was like Michael Flatley. I mean, she was unreal.
It was unbelievable.
So that then became, I think it was quite funny that we had one really good dancer and the rest were rubbish. You know,
yeah, did well.
But they got unbelievable traction. I think they had, on Twitter, they had over 1 million views and it was amazing. Quite extraordinary.
The funniest video, Jamie, was not one that was sort of prompted, is when, I can't remember the detail, when the dog took off after the horse.
That was the year before and that got unbelievable traction. But I made a mistake with that because I posted it on Twitter and about half an hour later, I got an email from something called Lad Bible that I'd never heard of, asking if they could use the film. They said they'd give me a couple hundred quid. So oh, that's good. I'm a couple hundred quid up this morning. So I signed this piece of paper, sent it back to them. And what I'd done is I'd signed the rights to this film over. So I don't know. It ended up the way they sort of chucked it out there onto various things. It ended up some unbelievable number of views where I don't know how they make money out of it, but seemingly they do. And I'd given it to them for 200 quid.
That's so you just trying to make a cheap buck, isn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking, God, you know,
what a day.
I'm furious with the dog, but at least she's made me 200 quid this morning.
It's such a good video, if anyone gets a chance to root that out. No, listen, thank you so much, Jamie. I tell you what we'd love from you is just something to follow over the next couple of weeks.
If there's one for the summer that I really like that I think has done very well through the winter, will be a filly that's new to us called Dare to Dream.
Dare to Dream.
We call Dare to Dream, yes. Yeah, we bought her in Arcana. She's good filly. I mean, she's rated 105. And I would hope that she would make up into whether we ever use the 105 would be questionable. But I hope it's a nice race to be won with her through this summer.
Nice. Lovely.
That's it then.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jamie. We really, really appreciate it. You've been a star. Look forward to seeing you at some point on a racetrack.
Take care, mate. All the best.
Okay, boys.
So, Craven Week, we've got that almost upon us now. It's always that. It's a great week. I know it doesn't necessarily draw the huge crowds that, say, the July meeting does or the Guineas does, but Craven's kind of when people see each other again, everyone reacquaints, there's the sales. What have you got to do next week, chaps, in terms of runners and also action at the Breeze Ups? Charlie?
I have a few runners. Maybe not many at Newmarket. I might run a nice horse called Terab, who was very unlucky not to win last year. Massar, he could go for a mile handicap at Newmarket as long as it doesn't dry out too much, which seems a ridiculous comment to make, but considering how quickly Newmarket dries out.
Just loves a soft ground horse. Oh yeah. My God. I hate soft ground horses.
He's nice.
Dry out. We've had the wettest month in history.
He's nice. And then Vadream is going to head down to Bath. There's a listed race down there, which is just the perfect starting point for her.
Five.
Yeah. Stiff five. Absolute ideal.
Yeah. Then Guineas Weekend for her.
And then possibly Guineas Weekend. If Guineas Weekend's too quick, then she'd go for the Temple at Haydock, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's all about the second half of the season with her and just praying that one of those group ones comes up on soft ground.
Yeah, and she's live as hell.
Yeah.
What about the Breeze Ups as a sale for you both? You know, we often find a ready-made two-year-old there or three. Is it a sale that you'll be working hard? I'll ask you first, George.
I've been to Ireland to look at Breeze Up horses this week for a couple of days. So I've seen quite a lot of a good amount of horses going to the sale.
He's got an order, so that's good.
Yeah, I find the Breeze Ups until you actually get there and get on the phone and get the... I'm hoping that I've got an opportunity to buy some horses, but, you know, again, like, it's a funny sale. Like, things change at this time of year so quickly for owners. It's not like a yearling sale where they're kind of, I'm going to buy a yearling, and it's like, boom, and then, like, you bank on it. Like, people murmur about Breeze Ups, and I do have an opportunity, I think, to buy horses, but I could easily not. But I just wanted to go because... it comes thick and fast. There's 170 horses to see in the first sale in an afternoon, really. And again, I always think you need to have the first conversation the day before the sale. I think when you ring an owner on the day of the sale, you're slightly on the back foot because you've got to get the horse vetted. So I just wanted to see a few horses. There's 200 horses, apparently, that didn't get into Breeze Up sales. They didn't get allocated a slot. No room. No room in any of them.
What, in any of them?
No. They've been left with Breeze Up horses, which they weren't allocated a slot. So... I might be wrong, and I hope I am, but I think the top will be unbelievably strong. You'll see some fireworks at the top. There's a few new superpowers, and I know that they're going to be playing. But I do think the middle market, there's going to be some value.
So who are we thinking? Wathnan?
Wathnan.
KHK.
The Bahrainis, obviously.
Yeah, they'll be playing.
These are the guys that will be playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might be some Americans, I guess, and Australians have been dabbling. I really do think the top will be red hot.
Yeah.
But I think the market between 40 and 100, like horses that might have made nearer 100, 120, I think will be making more like 50 to 70. I've just got a feeling that middle market might be, there might be some value in that middle market.
What about you, Charlie? Have you got an order or are you just scouting or what's the plan of action?
I'm never overly active at the Breeze Ups. We've got a couple of orders, but nothing, it won't be big orders. We'll see. I've got, as I say, I've got a few people possibly, but it's just, the problem I have with the Breeze Ups is everything is there. Van Diet was the best horse to come out of a Breeze Up last year. What did he make? He was the top price out of all of them. Why? Because you know, there are very few really good horses that slip through the net because all the facts are there. You know how quickly they've gone.
Yeah.
The speed is there for everyone to see. They've vetted well. It's not like a yearling sale where there is a lot more skill and judgment that comes into it. A lot less good. And don't get me wrong. There are some very good horses that have gone through a Breeze Up that haven't made loads. The Platinum Queen, she was a Breeze Up horse, wasn't she? So it does happen, but nowhere near as often as it does in a yearling sale. And the two top lots from the last 2 years were Van Dijk and Native Trail.
Yeah.
And they, look at them, they were the two Group 1 winners. Yeah.
What was fascinating with the benefit of hindsight was Van Dijk. So in England and Ireland, the best sale really, supposedly, and I've got my fingers in the air, is the Craven. He went 1 second point something faster than every other horse in the sale. That is quite something.
What did he fetch?
625 or 675, I can't remember.
So
but
no,
it was there, like if you thought about it, like obviously the KHK and the Crisfords did practically mind it. He's gone 1 second faster than every other horse in the same condition. So, and as it turned out, he's probably a second better than everyone.
I think as it turned out, the Craven sale, other than Mandy, didn't turn out to be very strong.
No.
So he was a standout horse in the sale.
Yeah, and it's just an amazing that he, and it proved to be right. So, yeah, as Charlie said, like, you do get the evidence. And if you've got a real big bullet to fire, you've probably got a better chance of finding a horse.
And they do slip through, but it's nowhere near as easy to slip through there as they do as a yearling, obviously.
And I feel I saw you off a little bit there, Charlie. You were saying about horses to run. I'll come back to you. Aside from at Newmarket and anywhere else, what are you hoping to run in the next week or two that maybe podcast listeners can look out for or follow? Or I'm not asking for your charity bet yet, but just horses to run that getting started with away again.
What have I got? Newmarket, the one that stands out is Terab. He's a nice horse. He's a really nice horse. He was very unlucky not to win at Yarmouth. And then I ran him at Lingfield. I don't know what I was doing. An idiotic decision to run him at Lingfield. It was just the wrong old track for him. And he got too far back and never got there. He's a really nice horse. Obviously, looking forward to getting Vadreen back out on the track. She's had a good spring. She normally takes a run or two to get going, but I've probably done a lot more work with her this year than I have before. She looks in good order. And then Newbury, I'll be relatively quiet Newbury. I might run, actually, a nice horse of Emma's grey horse is really doing well. He might run at Newbury in the Marmaiden there.
He's a lovely looking horse.
He's such a good looking
white
horse.
White.
Yeah.
Will their ground be softer than ours, I would say?
Normally is, yeah.
It's hard to know with the ground because its wind is ferocious and it's warming up. So it might not be a washout at those two tracks.
And George, tell us what you're hoping to run or looking forward to running in the next week or two.
Yeah, I've run a two-year-old filly, hopefully, called Golden Paradise by Havana Gold filly that certainly looks like she's up to winning a restricted novice. Whether she can win a novice, open novice, I'm not sure, but I like her. And I might run Watch My Tration, the Greenham, because his main target is the Jersey. He obviously won the Spring Cup the other day. His main target is very much the Jersey. I think it would be the perfect race for him, but I'd really need to get another run into him before Ascot. He's just this kind of ball of energy. So I might run it, and there's very few races, so he might run in the Greenham, but he's a gelding, so he can't run in the Guineas, and he wouldn't get a mile anyway.
There's the race at Newmarket for him, the listed race. Is it the King
Charles?
Yes,
you're right.
King Charles II.
You're right, Tony, but I don't think he'll suit Newmarket. He's got this amazing big action. He's kind of like a swimmer in a way, and I could just see him going down into the dip. If he loses that action, he's not coming back out of it.
Would you run him again after the Greenham, or would that be Greenham and then Ascot?
And if he doesn't run in the Greenham, he could just have a run in the Pavilion, so which would be a really nice run for him. And he would just be ridden. He would just be ridden as a horse to like would come. You'd take him back out the gate, get him to relax and breathe. He wouldn't probably be sharp enough for against the good 6 furlong Commonwealth Cup horses, but at least he gets a spin at the track. He'd finish off his race well, and it would be the perfect trial for the Jersey. So.
So you're just waiting on the ground, presumably, at Newbury, because if it comes up nice, good ground, you'd probably go and take your chance.
Chance, yeah. And then there's a See the Stars horse of Amos, who I like, called Prince Maxi. He'll run in a handicap.
So form got a boost last night?
Yeah, exactly. Form got a boost yesterday.
He's not got a mark off his win, did he?
He got a mark subsequently when he finished second, so he got 84. He looks a horse that should improve for the grass. And, you know, and then there's... We'll be all around the country. You know, I made some entries at Windsor and today and Kempton.
Are you running that horse in the sprint at Windsor?
Maximum
Dear Daphne.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Good. I'll get someone like other than Callum then.
25 entries.
I know,
I
may not get in, to be honest. I'm rated 75. We may not get in.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen the entries yet.
What are you rated?
79.
Oh, you'll get in, no problem.
Yeah.
We'll have a short thing for our charity bets and we'll finish on those in a sec. Okay, then one more thing to do before we finish off. Now, I text Fitstairs about this and they've said charity bet £250. I think it'd be good if we had one from both of you.
This is a hard one, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going
to... The races are so tough at the moment.
I'm going to go with a filly called Dear Daphne, who's been off the track a long time. Oh, she's done really, really well physically. I just think if she runs a nice race on Monday at Windsor that you could definitely get on her second start, but I think she's well handicapped and she's a filly that I like.
Sorry, you're putting her in for Monday, are you, bet?
Yeah, I think she's got it, because she'll be a price, but I'd say like just keep track of her, because I think if she runs well, she would improve. I could see her going really well, but if she runs well, then you could get your money back on the next start.
Charlie?
That's annoying because I've got one that I fancy in the same race. Well, I wasn't going to put up. But I'm going to put Terab. I'll have Terab as my... But each way, if we're allowed it each way.
Say each way.
He's in really good order, and he's a horse that looks like he's done well over the winter. So I'm going to go with him.
And seeing as we've had Jamie on, such a good guest, I think it kind of sets a standard for us. What are we going to look for with guests in the next week or two?
Well, yeah. Well, I think we're off to a flyer. I think we started low, and we can only go up from here. So
get someone who's going to be really prominent on Guineas Weekend. Let's try and get someone who's going to have a big name on Guineas Weekend, so we can get a scoop.
I'll give Aidan a call this afternoon, see if we can get him on.
Good plan. Until then, thanks ever so much for listening. Goodbye. So yes, it does sound like we'll be back soon. We're talking before the Guineas. Well, that'll be encouraging. Two episodes in about 3 weeks. That'll be, I'll believe it when we see it, but fingers crossed. Until then, thanks to our producer, Carl Homer from Cambridge TV, and many, many thanks to Fitstairs. On behalf of George and Charlie, and also myself, thanks to you all for taking the time to listen. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Goodbye.